This is the first day of 1998, New Year Day. May all of you have a happy New Year with much progress in your meditation. For some meditators, with attainment of a path and fruition knowledge. Yesterday, I dealt with the five mental faculties of a meditator. Sadha, Viriya, Siddhi, Samadhi, and Panya. Sadha is basic requirement. When sadha is a firm and strong sadha, as you know, strong faith and confidence. Through right understanding of the scriptures or the teaching of the Buddha. When a meditator has a strong sadha, strong faith and confidence, he is sure to put strenuous effort in his practice. When his effort is strong enough, then his mindfulness becomes continuous and constant, sharp and powerful. When the mindfulness is continuous and constant, then the mind is deeply concentrated on any mental states or physical process which is observed. Deep concentration. When a meditator attains deep concentration, he is sure to realize the nature of body-mind process. In other words, there arises insight knowledge together with the deep concentration, which penetrates into mental or physical phenomena and their true nature. That's called vipassana jnana, insight knowledge. When that insight knowledge, panya or wisdom, becomes mature, then meditator is to attain the first stage of a path knowledge. This also one of wisdom. The realization of mental physical phenomena as they really are is mundane wisdom. The realization of the Four Noble Truths at the moment of the first stage of enlightenment is a supramundane wisdom, panya. So here, what we find is strong faith, sadha, is the cause. Strenuous viriya is effect. Strenuous viriya is the cause. Continuous and constant mindfulness is effect. Continuous mindfulness is the cause. Deep concentration is the effect. Deep concentration is the cause. insight, knowledge, panya is the effect. Mundane wisdom, insight, knowledge, is it the cause? Supramundane wisdom, what knowledge is the effect. In this way, all these five mental faculties are interrelated as cause and effect. So, meditators should be endowed with firm and strong faith and triple gems, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. If he has a strong faith in the Buddha, in the Dharma, and the Sangha, then he strives the best to be mindful of all mental states and physical processes as they really are. It's a sadhya in the triple gem, then gives rise to compassion too. When he has a sadhya, he has compassion to compassion for other living beings too. This is sadhya together with compassion is the cause, and strenuous effort is the effect. Even in the Buddha, in his ascetic life, at the time of Divinkara Buddha, he was able to attain final enlightenment, the fourth enlightenment, and to become a Rahasya. But he gave it up because he has great compassion for all living beings who are suffering in a great deal. So he wanted to salvate these living beings from the ocean of suffering. Then he thinks only he himself is endowed with wisdom, omniscience, and asvakya jnana, the enlightenment that destroys all mental defilement. He would be able to help all these living beings to get rid of samsara, of the cycle of suffering. That's why he gave up the potentiality of the attainment of a final enlightenment at the foot of the Buddha Dipankara, and try his best to become the Buddha, fulfilling all of the 10 kinds of perfections. Then eventually, he became enlightened, fully enlightened by himself, Samma Sambuddha. Since he became enlightened, he exerted to deliver Dhamma talks to all living beings, to get rid of all kinds of suffering. He taught his teaching to the living beings, not from theoretical knowledge, but from his own experience. He experienced the cessation of suffering by means of the path, the Noble Eightfold Path, which he walked. So when he taught his disciples, he taught the Noble Eightfold Path as the way leading to the cessation of suffering, or the getting rid of samsara, the cycle of suffering. In this way, based on the great compassion, striving to become a Buddha, and after he has become Buddha, exerting, working hard for the salvation of all living beings, for about 45 years. So that great compassion arose together with the strong and firm faith in the teaching of the Dipankara Buddha, which was also Noble Eightfold Path and the Four Noble Truths. So here, a meditator should be endowed with these five mental faculties. These five mental faculties must be sharp, strong enough, and kept in balance. When these five mental faculties strong and sharp and imbalance, then it's a sure meditator can make progress in his meditative practice. So as I explained to you, when he has a strong and firm faith, there arises compassion for all living beings, and also he strives his best to get rid of all kinds of suffering so that he can help all living beings to bring out of the cycle of suffering. So this is Saddha, great faith, firm faith and compassion. Is it the cause of the strenuous effort? Is it the effect? Strenuous effort is the effect, continuous mindfulness is the strenuous effort is the cause, and continuous mindfulness is the effect. Only you put strong effort or strenuous effort in your practice, you are able to be mindful of whatever arises in your body and mind as it really occurs. Especially being mindful of daily activities in more and more detail. Only when you are able to be mindful of all actions and moves and the daily routine attentively and precisely, your mindfulness will become continuous and constant and uninterrupted. To have this continuous mindfulness, you need strong, strenuous effort in the practice. If your effort is weak or poor, you won't be able to observe each action and movement in the daily routine. Then your mindfulness won't be continuous and constant. It will be weak. When the mindfulness becomes weak, then concentration also weak. Your concentration cannot be deep enough. When the concentration is poor and weak, there will arise any inside knowledge that penetrates into the phenomena and its true nature. Then you won't make any progress in your Upasana meditation. So, the point is to have a strenuous effort. The awareness of our daily activities in more and more detail is very, very much important to improve your meditative practice. That's why the Omniscient Buddha gave a separate chapter in the discourse of Mahasatipatthana Sutra. He teaches this a separate chapter entitled Sambhajanya Papa on daily activities. In that chapter, the Buddha said, Abhikande Padekande Samajana Gari Hoti Alokite Vilokite Samajana Gari Hoti Smeji De Basari De Samajana Gari Hoti Asi De Bide Uskjara Pasa Sangadi Pada Siwara Dharne Samajana Gari Hoti and so on. The meaning is that when you walk forward, it must be done mindfully. You must be mindful of each movement of the step. When you walk backward, you should be aware of each movement of the foot. When you stretch out your arms, you should be aware of stretching out. Pasari de sambhajana gari hodi. When you bend your arms, you must be aware of the movement of the bending arm. When you look straight, you should be aware of looking. When you look side, you should be aware of that looking. And so on. The Buddha teaches us to be aware of all actions and movement and the daily routine and daily activities, which is very much important and which enable a meditator to have a continuous mindfulness for the whole day, which is the cause of a deep concentration and the clear insight. I think I repeatedly mentioned one incident I came across in the West. In 1982, I conducted a meditation retreat in Okinhoa Meditation Center near Oxford, about 2 miles from Oxford. Together with the Venerable Mahasi Siara, I conducted 2 months retreat there. One of the Merica monks, about 30 years old, joined the retreat and practiced meditation 1 month. when he was instructed to take serious the awareness of a daily activity and slow down all actions and movements, being aware of each action and movement very precisely in detail. He believes in the instruction and also in the technique. Because he believes only when mindfulness becomes continuous, it can give rise to deep concentration. So he strives the best to have continuity of mindfulness for the whole day. Being aware of each actions and movements and daily routine and more today, slowing down more and more. He likens himself to a sick person, a invalid person. Whatever he did is done very, very slowly, so that he can be aware of each actions and movements individually, precisely. So in 10 days time, his concentration is very deep. He attains the first, the second, the third stage, the fourth stage of enlightenment. The fourth stage of insight knowledge. The first stage of insight knowledge is to differentiate between mentality and physicality, or to differentiate between subject and object. Such as when your mind becomes well concentrated on the rise and fall movement of the abdomen, then you come to realize each rising movement as just natural process of movement. Each falling movement as just natural process of movement. At that moment, he come to judge. The rising movement is one process, and the mind that knows it's another process. Falling movement is one process, and the noting mind is another process. In this way, you can differentiate between the rising movement and the noting mind, the falling movement, the noting mind. The rising movement is a physical phenomenon, rupa. The noting mind is a mental phenomenon, nama. The falling movement is a physical phenomenon, rupa, and the noting mind is mental phenomenon, nama. In this way, you come to discern between nama and rupa, and the subject and object. That is called the insight knowledge of differentiating between nama and rupa, mental phenomenon and physical phenomenon. When you are able to differentiate in this way, mental process and physical process, the two separate process as the two separate process, then you don't take any of these processes to be me or my person or being. Because he sees these processes as just a natural process of movement. Natural process of a movement is neither me or my, neither a person, neither a being, neither you or he. But this is natural process of a physical phenomena, that's all. when you are able to distinguish or differentiate between mentality and physicality in that way, you remove the concept of a person or being self or soul. Through realization of nama and rupa very thoroughly and clearly. This is the first stage of enlightenment. Then the second stage of enlightenment is the inside knowledge of a cause and effect. When you observe, intending, stretching, and the daily activities, intending, bending, intending, sitting down, intending, rising from the sea, rising, or getting up. While you are eating, you intend to reach out your arms to the spoon. Then intending, then reaching. Then you intend to hold the spoons. Intending, holding. In this way, every action and movement is preceded by the intention. If you are able to note or to observe most of the intention before actions and movements, you come to realize it's the intention that causes the movement. In the same way in the walking too, you come to realize it's the intention that causes the lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement. Then here you come to realize that the intention is the cause, the movement is the effect. In this way you come to realize, you come to attain the inside knowledge of a cause and effect. Then the third knowledge is the inside knowledge of a comprehension. At this stage, the inside knowledge comprehends all three characteristics of existence, impermanent suffering, impersonal nature, or no-self nature of a body-mind process. So it's called inside knowledge of comprehension. Then when you have passed that stage, you come to realize appearance and disappearance of mentality and physicality, which are observed. This stage here is called inside knowledge of arising and passing away. That American man, his name is K.T. Sara. I remember it well because he was a good meditator and his meditative experience is very good. And in this time, he experienced this is the fourth inside knowledge. But in 1 month's time, his meditative experience reached to the stage, the 11th stage of equanimity, Sankarpa Kanyana. So, in a month's time, his strong effort and strong faith enabled him to attain 11th stage of inside knowledge. He went through all these stages of inside under the inside knowledge of equanimity. Then after 1 month's meditation, he had to leave the retreat because of he had some other engagements. When he was about to leave the retreat, he came to me and paid respect to me. And then he said a remarkable point. He said, "Venerable Sir, without awareness of a daily activity, meditation is nothing." That is what he said. Without awareness of a daily activity, meditation is nothing. So, you sit to meditate, you walk and meditate, but except sitting and walking, there are many, many actions and movements, physical phenomena, which must be thoroughly realized, but you do not observe them, you do not note them, then you have very big unmindful gap between the previous mindfulness and the following mindfulness. Because you merely sit, just sit and just walk, no awareness of a daily activity. So, very big gap, which is a mindful. So your mindfulness is not continuous and constant. It's disrupted. So it has no power. It's poor. Poor continuous. Disrupted continuous cannot be the cause of a deep concentration. When concentration is not deep enough, there will arise panya, insight, knowledge that penetrates into the true nature of mental and physical phenomena. Now, luckily, last year, when I was invited by some Buddhist devotees in South Africa to accept a monastery, to establish a center there, I went in May last year. Then there's a Buddhist association on the mountain about 50 miles from our center. So they named their center Buddhist Retreat Center. The nearest town is Ikopo. So they are known as the Ikopo Meditation Center. They invited me to conduct a meditation retreat there, 7 days meditation retreat. When I arrived there, surprisingly, that Katie Sara Bhikkhu, kneeling in front of me and paying respect to me, but at that time, he was disrobed, a layman, but a layman teacher there. He teaches Vipassana meditation to South Africans there. So I was very happy to meet him there as a teacher. When I conducted the meditation routine, that teacher himself join the retreat and practice under my guidance again. So, here what I want to say is, without awareness of a daily activity, meditation is nothing. You should remember, be careful about this saying. So long as your mindfulness is not continuous, not constant, your concentration won't be deep enough. Then the mind wanders very often. Sometimes it keeps on very long time. So here, what you need is strenuous effort, which is the opposite of laziness. If you feel lazy, you won't have strenuous effort. So, that strenuous effort is vitally needed for achievement in this meditation. Only you can put strong strenuous effort in your practice, you are able to be aware of all actions and movements in the daily routine. And more and more details, slowing down more and more. For example, if you stretch out your arms, stretching movements must be observed. Following the movement, observing the movement, being aware of the movement very attentively, stretching. The awareness must be closely following the movement, precisely. You should slow down your stretching movement or stretching of the arms so that you can note at least 10 times, if it's possible, 15 times or 20 times of a process of movement and stretching. Then you are able to observe each individual movement very precisely and very attentively. Then you come to realize a stretching of the arm means the process of many broken movements or chain of many broken movements. You come to see it or you come to realize it. When you realize stretching movement as just the process of a series of broken movements, it means you realize one movement rising. You see one movement rising and passing away. Then another movement rising and passing away. Then another movement rising and passing away. In this way, you are realizing a series of broken movements arising and passing away one after another. Then when you see the movement arises and then passes away, you can judge these movements are impermanent. They are not permanent. They does not last even a second. One movement arises and then very instantly passes away. So it's impermanent. In this way, you come to realize general common characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. But the impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature. when you are able to see very clearly this series of a broken movement and a stretching of the arm, then you don't say this is stretching of the arm to be me or my personal appearance. Because you do not see it as an arm. Why? Because you see it as the process of a series of broken movements. That is the benefit of noting or observing each individual movement action of physical phenomena. When you realize that this is stretching movement or bending movement, all other actions and movement in the daily routine in this way, you are sure to make progress in your meditation. You may be able to attain the first stage of enlightenment in 10 days meditation. This is a panya wisdom. The supra mundane wisdom. When you attain the first stage of enlightenment, then you have got supra mundane wisdom, which penetrates into the Four Noble Truths and destroys some of the mental defilements, uproot some of the mental defilements. So, may all of you rightly understand this technique of meditation as a way of getting out of all kinds of suffering. So try your best and attain the cessation of the suffering.